as we're in this continuing in this Easter season. And let's go to John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, the gospel reading that we shared today. If you want an outline to fill in blanks there on the back table there, please feel free to grab one and you can follow along and take some notes as we hear from the word of the Lord. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10, is unique, a unique chapter that Jesus is having a conversation with some people. He's on the temple grounds, and he's there having a conversation, of course, with his disciples. They're in his presence. But so are the Pharisees. There's someone else, the blind man. Remember, chapter 9 of John is the whole account of the man born blind and now has been healed. He's there listening to this. And any other people who would be there on the temple grounds, Israelites. We're not talking about Gentiles who would be there. Well, they might be mixing in a little bit with the crowd, but mainly Israelites that Jesus is speaking to. And he says something very plainly to them. I am the gate. I'm the gate. I would imagine that all of us can remember a first encounter that we've had with a gate. And maybe that first encounter was something very frustrating for you. You couldn't get in or out. Or you couldn't reach what you wanted to reach. Maybe a pet, because there was a pet gate in front of you. My first encounter with a gate is something that I can't remember, but it's part of our family folklore. In the Philippines, we lived as missionaries there in a walled compound, 9-foot wall. 12-foot wall, it was tall. I don't know how big it was. But for me as a kid, it was big. With barbed wire, broken glass around the top to protect. And we had a gate, a double gate. And when we needed to come in, particularly Dad, who was driving, he would come to the gate, meet me, honk the horn. And the one who lived with us, a Filipina maid, who helped take care of our family and house and the daily cleaning chores that needed to be done, she would run and open the gate. She was like the gatekeeper, right? And she'd run and open the gate for the man of the house or my dad. Well, I'm told that one time she was in the middle of changing my diaper. This is cloth diaper days, remember? Middle of changing my diaper. And the shepherd comes home. Beep, beep. And so she finishes putting my diaper on and runs as the gatekeeper to open the gate. That's her job. Let the master of the house in. She puts me on the floor, and what I'm told, I don't remember this, thankfully, but I walked down the hall going, owie, owie, owie. She had pinned the diaper through my hip. Yeah, it was there to stay for a while. Yeah, so needless to say, that maid didn't last with us very long. But the gate was open, and Dad did get in. Sometimes those situations where we have these gate experiences, they're not really positive. Sometimes the church, we as people, are more of a blocking gate, a keeping out gate, than a gate that swings in and says, in Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, for a life changed by his Holy Spirit, come in and be a part of this fellowship. This is what Jesus was talking about when he's gathered there on the Temple Mount with the Israelites. And he's gathering with them on what might be the sheep pen, the place in Israel to gather God's people. And he's speaking to them about these truths. People who know their shepherd. They're Israelites. They're part of the covenant of God. And they know who their shepherd is. They're called to listen to no other. And they know how the shepherd cares for them daily. They recount their past daily, or at least once a year at the Passover, to be reminded how the Lord God has brought them out of slavery and into this land flowing of milk and honey, how he has claimed us as his own. They know these things. And they know who the gatekeeper, the one who's entrusted to his care, the shepherd of the sheep, they know who he is too, or at least they're waiting for him. Mashiach, Messiah. He's the one who is the gatekeeper who will make all things new for us as he opens up the kingdom of God in our very presence. And these whom Jesus is speaking to, they've committed themselves in this covenant that they will never follow another. We know the shepherd's voice, and so we've committed ourselves to follow him as well. Now, Jesus speaks to them then in this context, in those first five verses of John chapter 10, concerning this truth of who they are, what they know, what they've been claimed into, and what they also have reciprocated as God's people. And so this idea of a sheep pen and of a gate and a gatekeeper would be very familiar to the Israelites out of their context of history, but also out of their daily living. Many of the people who would have been there on the temple grounds knew what it was like to take care of sheep. This is an example of a sheep pen for them. What's unique about sheep pens in biblical times is there was no physical gate. Typically, there was no physical gate for somebody to open or close. What the shepherd would do is he'd bring his sheep back in from pasture at night, and he'd hand his sheep over to what's called the gatekeeper. And the shepherd, as the sheep are being led into the pen, would make sure all the sheep are there, for one thing. He would check over them to make sure they weren't injured or hurt in any way, that there weren't any parasites on them. He would let them pass through this opening into the pen, and then he would say to the gatekeeper, I don't know if this is verbatim, but something like it, you are in charge now until I come back in the morning to gather my sheep. So the gatekeeper was the gate. And when he got tired at night, he would lay down in that opening of the sheep pen so that no sheep would go out, and he would also know that nothing came in. That's the context in which Jesus is sharing this truth when he says, I am the gate. I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the one who now is here as Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord God's anointed one, to care for you, my people. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand egnoson. They didn't understand. They couldn't comprehend what Jesus was telling them. And it's not just the head kind of understanding. It was something greater and deeper from their heart that they failed to grasp what Jesus was telling them. Maybe they were ignorant by choice. Jesus, I just don't like what you're saying. And I'm not going to listen to you. And so I'm going to stay in this egnoson, this ignorant state. Maybe it was because they were used to many years, generations of tradition that had brought them to this place. And for them, for some, change is hard. Even though you're speaking truth, change is hard. And I think I'm going to cling to my tradition rather than this new thing that you're saying, as truthful as it might be. And of course, for some, they were just plain comfortable in where they were. They didn't want to be challenged. They didn't want to be brought out of that comfortable position and practice and put into place something that now was true of their existence as God's people, but they just didn't want to have anything of it. For us today, while Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, particularly in this way, and they find themselves egnoson, they are ignorant, is this only a Pharisee issue? What about you and me and us today? What about us as individuals of the sheep pen and the flock of Christ who is the church today? Maybe we don't connect with it in the same way as the Pharisees did in their day, but we do connect with it in the truth of the Lord. Paul would write this to the church in Ephesus, live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Well, to hear that truth does put me in line with the Pharisees because I choose ignorance. I'm comfortable with tradition. I don't like change. And I'm comfortable where I'm at, and I don't want to change these ways, even if it sounds true or is true. Lord, I struggle with this. Didn't we just confess that a few minutes ago? Lord, this is what I am. This is where I find myself. This is how you see me. Forgive me. So Jesus says, very truly, In Aramaic, it would have been amen, amen. Solidifying that truth. Amen, amen. I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I am the gate, and whoever enters through me will be saved. This is the truth I'm giving you. You've known it all of these years of your covenant life in the God of Israel, Yahweh. But now I'm giving it to you again through this person that your saving God has sent, his own son. I'm your gate. And you enter through me, and you will be saved. In fact, what we get from this is that Jesus puts himself not only as the shepherd, but he puts himself now saying a gatekeeper who will lay his life. I will give to you my own life. Laying it down as your gate of salvation to keep you in me and to keep whatever else would attack you out. I'll lay my life down for you, even to the point of giving it so that you would be forgiven when you look to stray. That gate that tried to keep Jesus in was rolled away. Not a typical gate that we might think of, but a stone that was put in front of that tomb of Jesus was rolled away by his heavenly Father so that Jesus would be risen, alive, and come out and proclaim this victory for your life and mine as our shepherd, yes, but as the gate particularly, as the gatekeeper, as the one who knows us as his own sheep. The choice of the Father for his Son was to forgive our sinfulness and these sinful choices that plague us, which establishes a new tradition defined by grace through faith. This is what we know, free from the law, free from condemnation, free from that which would keep us from the pen. Now we are part of the people and bringing a new practice exercised by the Holy Spirit of life, which is marked by, in our lives, selfless love, agape, forgiveness, freely, sacrifice, as we know our gate and our gatekeeper. In fact, just a few verses later, Jesus would tell us this, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. You know who he's talking about? Us Gentiles. Yeah. Us who are not part of that old covenant, but have been now grafted in because of the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the gatekeeper who lays his life down for us, that sacrifice of him who welcomes us now, Gentiles, into this sheep pen. I'm the gate, Jesus says, and so as the gate, my sheep will come in and they will go out and they will find pasture that they may have life and have life to the full. That's the promise that Jesus gives to us as his people. This is what I want for you. This is what I want for you, my sheep. Israelites and Gentiles together. All of you who are in me and of me. I want you to have life and have it to the full. And so, as God's people, what's our witness? Our witness as the church. And what's my role within that witness as Jesus' sheep? There are some truths that speak large over us, and there are some truths that speak specific to us. As Jesus, our gate, allows others to come, that's his wish, his longing, for others to come in and go out. We are those representatives, then, of his choice to treat us as such. We get to represent him to the world. In other words, go back to that idea of what are we as the church? A gate that keeps people out? Or a gate that says, look, we've got a message of hope and life for you to forgive your sins in Jesus and a life that's changed in him. Come in. Be a part of this. Doesn't mean compromising the truth. Doesn't mean letting go of that which has established us in the eternities by God's eternal design. It doesn't mean letting go of those things. It simply means letting people know that they have a place in God's pen in the forgiveness of their sins, a new life that's changed. And I'm one of those representatives. So are you. How do we convey that as the church in this message of God's grace? In Acts 2, verse 47, we heard, the Lord God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Apparently, the early church got this. And in the message of the resurrection of Jesus, the Lord brought into his pen many who were being saved because the church recognized that Jesus is the only one who's going to change lives. Not a political agenda, not an economic boom, not a safe community to live in either. What's going to bring people to the kingdom is Jesus. And we're representatives of that. Jesus, our gate, establishes us in his kingdom where we find pasture, where we find ourselves to have a place, an identity, where we find that which we need to be sustained, not just in this life, but unto eternity. By grace, through faith, this is known. And this is the truth we bear in ourselves for others to know. Yeah. By grace, through faith, I'm saved. You're saved. This is the message we know, which is the kingdom of God message. Bigger than me, larger than my understanding, but one that I get to live out in Jesus. All the believers, we're told, that the believers in the Lord, the believers in the Lord Jesus devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, prayer. These are the signs, the marks of the fellowship of the church. They still apply today. We're not representing the social community, the social groups that are out there in our communities. They do what they do well. Let them do that, right? What we represent is a divine truth that's given to us that's very different from what the world can offer. And what we offer is an opportunity to know these things among ourselves in only the way that the Lord God gives for us as the church to do. We walk with these other entities and support them and let them do what they do well as we do well for the purpose of the kingdom among us. And Jesus, our gate, puts into practice through us a life that's defined by his Spirit so that we might have life. We might have it to the full as he desires for us. And that's made known, of course, by his example. And so, fellow sheep who are cared for by the gate and the gatekeeper, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before the Lord God Almighty. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Steps of Jesus himself, who is our gate, our way to life, who lays himself down for us that we might have that life as our gatekeeper, and takes that life up again and demolishes all that would keep us away from him and his salvation, and as a people representing that glorious joy to the world. That gate that tried to keep people Jesus in was rolled away, and the victory declared. And we know it today, and we continue to live it out, that our gate, our gatekeeper, is the one who brings us into life everlasting. For us to say and declare and share, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for the joy of being known as your sheep in your pen. And Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life, the gate, the gatekeeper, who takes care of us and provides for us a place to know life in its fullness. Praise and glory to you, oh Lord. As individual sheep of this pen and as your body here at Bethany, Lord, of a pen of yours. Use us well for your praise and the honor of your name. Continue to expand your kingdom, Heavenly Father, and the truth that's known through who we are as your people, that in us they might see you, Jesus, your grace, your goodness, the call of life to forgiveness, and a new life to find pasture in you. To you we give you the praise and the glory that's due your name and give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the peace of God, then, my brothers and sisters, that passes our understanding, keep our hearts and minds In Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, to him be the glory. Amen.